In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Yeah, yeah, it's time to talk movies. 5:32. Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, 557 Stillwater Avenue, where they have a film for everybody and the family. Alan Adams from The Main Edge is here with us in studio. Good day, sir.
Good day to you.
Welcome.
How are you?
I'm good. We were both thinking of them back on our weekends. Went by too quickly.
Yes, that's fair, I think. That's a fair assessment.
Yesterday, poopy day weather-wise.
Yeah, the weather wasn't great, and so we actually wound up spending a good chunk of it at home. But I got some work done. It was good.
I used it as an excuse not to have to do any yard work.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, well, I mean, my yard. I still don't have a yard, so it's like nothing's growing back there. Like,
no.
The grass has stayed essentially the same level as it was when the snow disappeared. It's a little greener than it was. But.
My lawnmower would sink in my backyard right now, but then I've got a patch along the side of the house where you would disappear. The grass is so high.
Yep, that's the nature of the beast.
Yeah, sure is.
But hey, at least it only rained for a couple of hours today.
Yeah, right. There you go.
And, you know, more to come, but yeah. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Can't wait.
It'll dry out eventually.
We saw a couple movies this weekend.
I did.
And again, two...
Yeah, we've been doing that a lot the last few weeks, really just sort of running the gamut, as it were.
So do we want to go with dogs or with a series that, well, began with a dog as a central figure?
I mean, I suppose we're talking about dogs either way. So because we've got A Dog's Journey, which is a sequel to 2017's A Dog's Purpose. And then we've got John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum. Mm. I will say I engaged with both movies in very different ways, but I definitely was engaged by them.
Well, let's start with A Dog's Journey then.
Okay, yeah, we can do that. For those who are unfamiliar with the works of author W. Bruce Cameron, friend of Downtown,
yes,
if I remember
indeed.
Correctly.
Yeah, a couple times.
Yeah. He's written a series of books about basically that basically boiled down to, you know, reincarnation for dogs.
Yeah.
That's basically the gist of it. A Dog's Purpose was in 2017, and this A Dog's Journey is a sequel to that movie. And the basic gist is you have the aforementioned spirit of the dog. The dog's named Bailey, voiced by Josh Gad, who's living on a farm in Michigan with his boy Ethan, who's now no longer a boy because he's Dennis Quaid. I'll be real. I struggled a little bit seeing Mr. Quaid up there just 2 weeks after his horrifying home invasion movie. So it was just like, it took me a second.
Does he belong in that house?
It's like, is that his? Is that okay? The basic gist is it's more of the same. It's the dog lives on the farm. And then Ethan, that's Dennis Quaid's character's name, who's living with his wife, Hannah. And their daughter, well, daughter-in-law, Gloria, who was married to Hannah's son, who passed away in a car accident. And so Gloria and her toddler daughter, CJ, are living on the farm with everybody. Gloria's got some issues. There's some dysfunction there and is very not a great mother. And definitely struggling with dealing with grief in her own way, and eventually just decides to up and just move away and just cut off CJ from her grandparents and the whole shebang. Not too long afterward, Bailey, as dogs do, reaches the end, and as Dennis Quaid holds Bailey, cradles him, wishing him goodbye, he basically says, "You have to look after CJ now." And so it's the same deal where the spirit of the dog is reincarnated in these various other dogs, all of whom with the singular purpose of protecting CJ. There's Molly the Beagle, who CJ gets as a young lady. She's like 10 years old, I think, when she gets the Beagle puppy. And then there's Big Dog, the Mastiff, who never quite manages to really track down CJ, because we had some of those in A Dog's Purpose as well. Like,
right.
He can control where mm-hmm. he goes. And then finally, we have the Yorkshire Terrier named Max, who catches up with a now adult CJ in New York City and serves to protect her. And wouldn't you know it, finds ways to finally bring back together the family that has been torn apart for such a long time. Look, Rich, like, you know me, like I was actively bawling like half a dozen times during this movie. And it's one of those things where it's like, I could see the giant finger pressing the giant button and it doesn't matter.
You don't care.
Doesn't matter. It's just like, oh my God, that dog. And then, you know, big lump in the throat, sniffles, like, just like audible sobs. It's just, I'd be embarrassed, except, you know, I love dogs and all dogs are good dogs.
Yes.
And, you know, if bad things happen to those dogs, especially when they're trying to do good things, well, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to cry about it and I don't care who knows. Look, it's not a particularly good movie. Like, it's not a particularly well-made movie. The performances, again, they're okay, but like, this is a movie that doesn't really care about the human cast. It's all about the dogs right. doing dog things. And they get some suitably adorable dogs to do suitably adorable things. Josh Gad does a great job of sticking the landing as far as like the unrelenting wave of sort of dumb dog puns and like, oh, the dog doesn't understand what kissing is. So he just says, lick faces already and stuff like that. And there's butt sniffing and the whole shebang. It's funny. It's goofy. It's emotionally harrowing. And again, if you're like me, if you do love dogs, then you're really gonna lean into this one. But I would bet even the most cynical of moviegoer gonna have trouble suppressing a tear or two at various times during this movie.
All right, that's the word on a dog's journey. What about John Wick 3: Parabellum?
I loved this movie. I loved it. I've been a big fan of the franchise in general since it started back in 2014. It's interesting because I would argue that one of the most difficult things to do in Hollywood today is build a viable franchise from the ground up. That's why you see so many studios scrambling to scoop up as much you know, pre-existing IP as possible, anything that could potentially be converted into a movie. So what director Chad Stahelski and star Keanu Reeves have done here is really pretty remarkable, because like the first movie, John Wick was it was a success. It was an unexpected success. Yeah. I don't think they really anticipated how well it would be received. And then they raised the bar with John Wick 2. And so with this one, it's like, okay, if there's one thing that we've learned in this era of you know, tentpole franchises and blockbusters, it's that there's a very real law of diminishing returns when it comes to sequels. Like there is, there's definitely a sort of a downward spiral, as it were, as far as the quality of these sorts of movies can be. Like it doesn't always have to work that way, but more often than not, it's like, you know, things kind of start to go downhill. It's not the case here. Like this movie actually, I feel like, almost surpasses what's gone before. It embraces all the things about the franchise that moviegoers have loved. The, you know, the really intricate, intense, like close up action sequences, like the big sort of chase scene set pieces, like long extended cuts with a wonderful sort of aesthetic to them. There's the deep seated mythology that surrounds the whole proceedings. Like, and this movie embraces all that, but just sort of like cranks the volume up. And so it's a much bigger, much bolder movie than the ones that have come before. And, you know, in a lot of cases you have to sacrifice some of that soul to get that, you know, to get it to scale up.
Right.
But you don't have to here. Like it really works. It works in the same levels that it worked previously, while also adding this new element of just sheer spectacle to the situation. Like it's just like it's a globe trotting thing, and it's like they're just these huge you know, extended like 8-10 minute long like fight scenes and chase scenes, and it's all this stuff that's just so mesmerizing to watch. And Stahelski, with his background in, you know, like he, you know, he was a professional martial artist and then a professional stunt coordinator. So the one thing he knows how to do is create these sort of very kinetic action sequences. And now that he's sort of come up with this way to sort of pull them together under this sort of overarching, like, mythological umbrella, like, what you get is something that's just unbelievably compelling to watch. For a basic synopsis of the plot, John Wick has been rendered excommunicado by the High Table, the High Table being the shadowy cabal that sort of rules over the sort of underworld of assassins that that John Wick travels in. Being rendered excommunicado means that there's no one operating under the High Table's rules can offer any sort of assistance to John Wick, and it also means that a sizable bounty has been put on his head, and so he is very much being sought out by basically every assassin out there because the money is so big. He gets a little bit of a head start thanks to his friend Winston, played by Ian McShane, who is the manager of the New York City Continental Hotel. The Continental Hotels being a globe-spanning collection of hotels where all these assassins can safely stay without fear of harm because no business is to be conducted on the grounds of the Continental. That's the whole reason John Wick got booted in the first place, is because he shot a guy at the end of John Wick 2. Where he wasn't supposed to. And so he has to figure out how to get back into the good graces of the High Table. And so he needs help. The first person he seeks out is a woman who's known only as the Director, played by Angelica Houston, who runs a ballet school and is from Belarus and basically helps him book passage to Casablanca, because that's where he's going, is Casablanca.
Okay.
He goes to Casablanca, where he meets up with an old acquaintance named Sophia, played by Halle Berry, who owes him a great debt, and so he enlists her to help him track down someone known only as the Elder, who is the one who has the power to sort of bring him back into the fold, as it were, assuming he's able to complete a certain task that is, you know, that is given to him. Along the way, he encounters an assortment of other assassin types and whatnot, including this one assassin by the name of Zero, who is played by Mark Dacascos, who is perhaps best known as the chairman on TV's Iron Chef America.
Oh, okay.
He's also a noted martial arts film actor. So he's one of the assassins. And then in the middle of all of this, you have the High Table has sent an adjudicator. There's no name there. An adjudicator played by Asia Kate Dillon, who approaches both Winston and the Bowery King, played by Lawrence Fishburne, telling them that they're being punished for they're giving their assistance to John Wick, and they have 7 days to abdicate their positions or else suffer dire consequences. So, yeah, so you got all that. And and then John Wick has to figure out, what he's going to do. And I don't want to alarm you. He's going to kill some people.
Oh, a lot of people.
Like
a
bunch. right from the get-go, when we see him murder a professional basketball player, Boban, I don't know what his last name is, the Boban something foreign, the 7'3" guy who plays for the Pacers, murders him with a book, which is awesome. And it just goes from there. I could say that because it's in the trailer, so I don't feel like I'm spoiling anything. If you've seen the trailer, you've seen Boban get a book in the face. And it just builds from there. And it's just such a wonderful experience to just sit there and watch all of this unfold. It's so much. And it's so much that it could almost feel like too much. And yet it never really gets there. And I think that's because the filmmakers have this really basic understanding of the world that they've created. And in the context of this world that they've created, it's not too much, because this is how these people, like, this is their day to day. Like, this is how they operate. And so you get that once you remove that sort of potential for over the topness, like, you can really just dig into how incredibly almost balletic the work that they do is, whether it's the hand to hand stuff, fists are flying, bullets are flying, people are throwing knives around, killing people with books. You know, at one point he's riding a horse to escape from a gang of motorcycle riding thugs. Like, it's just so much crazy stuff, and it all like works together, and it all works together in the service of this grand mythology that's being constructed. And we get some more like pieces to that puzzle, but mm-hmm. there's still plenty of mysteries left. And I love it when a movie is confident enough in the story that it's telling and the world that it's building, where it doesn't need to spoon feed you that sort right. of stuff. And it leaves room for what I'm sure are going to be numerous sequels, because again, this is the movie that unseated Avengers Endgame. Mm. So, you know, they did something like $57 million at the box office this weekend. There's going to be another John Wick movie. And that leaves aside, you know, the continental TV series that they're working on. But yeah, so basically it boils down to this. I don't toss this around lightly, this notion of, you know, no one else could play that part. I don't believe anyone else other than Keanu Reeves could play John Wick. I really believe that. Like, he's got the right combination of demeanor and physicality that works beautifully. It's got one of the best supporting casts of any action movie you're going to see. Between McShane and Fishburne, Dylan's great. You know, Halle Berry's in it for like 8 minutes, but she's blazing hot the whole time. Lance Reddick as the Continental's concierge, who really gets a bunch of stuff to do this time. It's just everybody's so good. Like, it looks great. The raises like the heart rate gets up. It's just a phenomenal experience, and I'm thrilled that they continue to up their game as they go forward.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
Sounds great. John Wick 3. Alan Adams breaking it down for us here on Downtown. Thank you, Alan.
Hey, my pleasure.